Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. According to the gospel, no one can do anything to merit salvation. It's not Jesus plus my good deeds or my good intentions. Only what Jesus did is of value when God the Father bestows eternal life. Today, a final look at the gospel we proclaim. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on what we believe and the difference it should make. We're learning about the good news that comes to us as a gift by grace.
The founder of one of America's great seminaries who understood grace said this, that he wants to trust Jesus Christ so completely and so totally that if he gets to heaven and discovers that faith in Jesus alone is not the way of salvation, that you need something else, and to have believed something else, he said that he will be turned away and be damned forever. That's the kind of faith that saves, the transfer of trust to Christ. That's grace. Now, grace is difficult to accept. You'd think that after this exposition that everybody would believe, that those listening on the internet and on the radio, they'd all say, let me stop the car wherever I am, wherever I'm listening to this. Right now, I'm going to transfer my trust to Jesus. But it's difficult for two categories of people. First, it's difficult for those who have sinned greatly because they say to themselves, I am so unworthy. I am so defiled because of my sin. There's no way God would accept me. Well, I hope I answered your question by pointing out that the real issue isn't the degree of your sin. And then there's another category. They are even more difficult to deal with. They are the ones who really, really struggle against grace and don't receive it. And that is the goody two-shoes people. The people who work in social work and who devote their time and their energy. The people who want to better the world. The people who are basically fundamental, honest, decent people, many of them attending churches, they struggle against grace greatly because you mean to say that I am that bad off? What do you mean? And then they drag out all of their list of accomplishments. And so they struggle and they find it difficult to accept grace. Like somebody said, the only time I ever sinned was to take my golf clubs in anger and wrap them around a tree. Oh my, could I get your autograph here? Here's a man having in 26 years committed one sin. Wow. He finds it difficult to accept grace. Grace comes along and undercuts all that and says, hey, the social work that you're doing is great. Keep doing it. But it buys no saving merit in God's sight, and people don't like it. I told you earlier, didn't I? But I have to use it again, about the woman in the plane who is very self-righteous that I was sitting next to. She was the kind, you know, who probably would say, well, maybe I committed two sins, but I need to think long and hard before I'd be able to identify them. And I said, would you consider yourself ungodly? And she said, oh, are you kidding? I'm not ungodly. And I smiled, my best smile. Don't ever say something. Don't ever be mean unless you smile. Don't ever. But if you smile, then it takes the edge off. I said, I'm so sorry to hear that because that means that Jesus didn't die for you. What do you mean Jesus didn't die for you? He said, Jesus, the Bible says, died for the ungodly. So if you're not ungodly, he didn't die for you. Wow. You see how hard it is for her to accept grace? It's tough to accept grace. But for those who are willing to accept grace and transfer their trust to Jesus, admitting how bad off they are the ones who are saved. And Jesus said that every plant that my heavenly Father plants, let me correct that. Jesus said every plant that my heavenly Father does not plant will be rooted up, because it was a false faith. It was knowledge, it was assent, but there was no transfer of trust to Jesus and to Jesus alone. Alone. When I stand before God, I will quote the words of Top Lady: "Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling." That's all that I'll take to heaven. Now, the Bible does say that now that we're saved, notice it says, we're saved unto good works which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Having been converted, having been raised from the dead, Lazarus has to get out of the tomb. And if he lived long enough, he has to begin to help make dinner. So God wants us to serve him. The works, though, follow salvation. They are not a part of the salvation process, the saving process. That can't be of works. But boy, once you're saved, you had better work. And if you don't, we have good reason to believe whether or not you really are saved, because it naturally follows. And to think that God foreplanned the works that we should do boggles the mind. Jesus told a parable about two men, both of whom believed in grace. There was a Pharisee who went into the temple to pray along with a tax gatherer, and the Pharisee was the goody two-shoes person who couldn't think of anything terrible he'd done for a long time. So he stood up there and he prayed and he said, "I thank thee, God, that I am not like other men, adulterers, extortioners. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of everything that I possess." You say, did he believe in grace? Yes, of course. Notice he said, "I thank thee, God, that I am not like other men." He was saying, I'm a very, very good person, but I'm thanking God for the fact that I'm so good. So yeah, after a manner of speaking, he believed in grace. But the other man, the tax gatherer, he had a better assessment of himself. He smote his breast. He wouldn't even look to heaven. He couldn't look God in the eyes, so to speak. And he said, "Oh, God, be merciful. Be propitiated to me, a sinner." And Jesus said that the man who said those words, he went home justified, and the other man left unchanged. What the Pharisee was saying is, you know, I'm a good person, and with God's help, I think I can save myself. The other person was saying, I've got a real serious sin problem, and unless God intervenes, I'm going to damn myself. And one left justified, and the other left quite confident that he'd do better next time. With God's help, of course, and thankful that God gave him the grace to do good works. Hear me out. Even the works that God gives us the grace to do will not save us, cannot save us. Only what God has done for us in Christ that we receive by faith, and the faith itself is a gift. It is not a work. So that salvation wholly and totally is of God. That's why we believe that God alone is the Savior. So I have to ask you today, are you saved? Very good terminology, by the way. Somebody said to me the other day, why do you use this saved language? Well, you know, we have this kind of silly idea here at the Moody Church that we should preach the Bible. It's not widely done anymore, maybe, but we use the word saved because you'll notice it says, for by grace you have been saved. So I have to ask you, are you saved? Has the transfer of trust been made, and from that flows the assurance? Let me say a word about assurance. you believe that when Jesus died on the cross and rose again, that he did all that ever will be necessary for you to stand in God's presence, and you embrace that for yourself, you not only will be saved, but you'll have the assurance that you are, because you know that it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with the wonder of what Jesus did for sinners. And that's where assurance is found. So I ask you again, are you saved? Let's pray. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that for the many who are listening, and you know who they are, who are cut off from you, who've never been redeemed, never been saved, cause them at this moment, Lord, to see their need and give them the ability to trust Christ. And then, Lord Jesus, may they have that calm assurance that their hope is in Jesus alone. Not Jesus and rituals, but Jesus alone. Grant that, O God, we pray. And for those who know you as Savior but struggle with assurance, show them the wonder and the beauty of the cross, that they might rejoice in what Jesus did for them. We ask in your blessed name. Amen. Amen.
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and my friend, today, if as a result of this message you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you responded to God's grace, no matter where you are, would you connect with us and let us know that? Of course, at the end of this broadcast, you'll be given information as to how these messages can be yours. You'll be given a telephone number. Let us know that you've come to saving faith. We are greatly encouraged when we hear reports about people listening to this broadcast who finally understand the gospel and then respond to it in simple faith. And yes, I do hope that you will take advantage of these messages and share them with your friends, because today, in a world in which there is so little good news, the gospel really is the power of God, the good news unto salvation. That's why we proclaim it. And could you take the time today to share this gospel with someone? Perhaps you might say to them, get a book that they'd be able to read, and say that you want them to read the book, and then later on you'll talk with them about it. You might want to ask them a simple question like, where are you on your spiritual journey? I've used that question multiple times, and it immediately helps me to understand where that person is coming from. And the trick is not so much that we might be able to just fill them in on the gospel right away, but first of all, to listen to where they are at. And after we've listened, prayerfully consider how we can give our own personal testimony of God's saving grace. Thanks to the many of you who have written to us, who've connected with us, you support this ministry. We are deeply grateful. And God willing, I'll see you right here next time on Running to Win. You keep listening, we'll keep preaching.
Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up The Gospel We Proclaim, another message in a 10-part series on what we believe. Unseen millions of angels hover all around God's people. Next time, don't miss The Angels We Appreciate. Erwin Lutzer's book, 7 Reasons Why You Can Trust the Bible, can be yours as our way of saying thanks for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Thanks for listening. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.